Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of The Boundless Show. Lisa Anderson here with you. And as we finish out the year 2019 and give you a little preview of the show, later on for our inbox, a listener's church has seemingly brushed aside some sexual sin of one of their young male leaders. And she's pretty upset about it and wants to know what should she say, what should they do? And one of our counselors is going to weigh in on that. And then for our culture segment, discipleship. How do we do discipleship well, iron sharpening iron, and hopefully from a proactive rather than a reactive stance? And Dr. Dale Johnson, president of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, is here to give us some tips on really making this applicable in day-to-day life. And now for our roundtable. Since we are finishing out the year, we want to do a little bit of a retrospective. You know that I love on the front end of a year setting goals. You know I love on the back end of a year talking about what we've learned, how we've grown. And so I've pulled in three friends in order to do that with me. We have Christina, Chris, and JB. Hey, guys.
Hey there.
All right. So 2019, we were just talking before we started taping about how fast the year seemed to go. It's weird. It's almost like I have to start like writing things down to even distinguish year from year, you know, because you kind of have work and you've got like church stuff and you there's some of it that's like the sameness of it, which is good to have routine. But then you kind of hope for some little like new exciting things throughout the year as well. So let's just talk about the year in general first. Impressions this year compared to previous years. I mean, how did you feel 2019 played out for you?
I thought it was a pretty okay year, to be honest. It's funny because at the end of each year, I feel like I see these memes on social media that are very much like, 2018 wasn't my year, but 2019, I will rise like a phoenix from the ashes and things like that. And so I kind of feel that at the end of this year, because I felt that last year and I thought, oh yeah, 2019, it'll be a really productive year. And I think it has been, but it has been in ways I wasn't expecting. And a lot of it comes down to kind of my expectations, and I'll get into this a little bit more, but just taking better accounts of, you know, my energy reserves and my spiritual life and everything that, in some ways, it's very easy to neglect amongst the busyness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
I think I came into the year with a lot of expectation, then a lot of those weren't met or were just off to the left somewhere of what I had originally had in mind of what I thought would be a really good year. And so it turned out to almost be an emotional management year where I'm trying to figure out how do I can't go on the same course. That is taken away from me. What do I do with the things that have changed that are outside of my control? And instead of having specific goals, just making sure that things don't get insane with the new changes that have happened. So it's been more of a instead of a looking forward year, it's been more of a just management of the present year.
Wow. Okay.
I would say that 2019 ended up being a pretty good year. I'm about 2 years into my working adult career, so it's definitely been a lot of routine. You kind of mentioned the years all blend together, and I definitely feel that now. But in that routine, it's left a lot of space for reflecting internally and being able to grow in that. So overall, it was good.
Yeah. It feels like, in a way, there are some big things happening outside of us, too, like culturally and like for those of us in the U.S. I mean, we're coming up next year on a presidential election. There's a lot of fighting around that. There's a lot of obligatory, I need to know what's going on, but I don't want to. and then I think you couple that with stuff that's going on locally in communities, natural disasters that have come across the world this year. It just seems like a lot of that, and maybe it's because of social and the accessibility of news and stuff. It seems like it just all becomes personal. Like everything can affect us in some way because we either know someone who's there or who's been there, or we feel like somehow this has impacted us. And so it is kind of crazy. And then even within the church, within Christianity, within, for Boundless this year, we did an article on the whole Josh Harris thing. That was big. I mean, there are sadnesses and there are joys, too. We talked about Kanye West and all his stuff. So it's like there's weird celebrity stuff going on. And so I think you kind of like filter a year through the scope of like international, national events and then your own kind of personal life, too. So it's kind of It's kind of weird to be in that space, I think. But what, I mean, did 2019 for you guys kind of progress as you expected it to? Like, was it kind of like you had your spring, your summer, you just kind of did like the same types of things? Or were there any specific shifts, whether little or seismic, as far as how things went for you? Well, I know, Christina, you kind of had a change.
Yeah, so 2019, as much as it was about routine, there also have been a few big changes. I moved, got a new roommate, so that was a change. Went to Uganda, which was a change, and then I started dating somebody over the summer. So started the year off as a single, and now I'm in a relationship. So that's definitely a change, good one, but a change for sure.
Yeah, wow, awesome.
A similar roommate change, a very good roommate change. I live in a house with a bunch of other single guys, and we had a roommate who was there when I moved in. And I didn't realize just how much of an emotional drain this person was until he was forced to leave because he wasn't paying rent. You know, good reason. But all the other things that he was doing, like leaving dishes out, was the minimum. It's just impossible to talk to this guy. And it was just, it was a rough enough scenario that I didn't realize was such a weight. Like, honestly, one of the highlights of this year is when he moved out. Mm-hmm. That's what kind of year 2019 is for me.
All right.
Just a little bit of chaos left the home.
Well, I don't
and
know
I'm
if
so
2020 will compare with that, Chris. I mean,
well, we
knows?
Have our new roommate moving in tonight, so we'll see if that's going to be a good fit for the house. So here's hoping for 2020.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, so earlier this year, at the beginning of the year, I had a friendship that's lasted for a few years that kind of ended suddenly and quite unexpectedly too. There was a whole story behind that, but it really kind of got me to look inside myself a little bit more, because my natural tendency is that I'm a people pleaser and I really want to, you know, cater to everybody all around me in some way. And there's some good sides to that in the sense of, you know, hospitality and whatnot, but there can be some self-damaging things as far as just being aware of how much people are draining you, or how much, what relationships maybe you shouldn't be investing in quite as much. And so that whole thing kind of got me thinking, okay, you know, I've taken on a job as of last year, but fully this January, that's been a lot more challenging. And so I don't have as much energy as I used to when I had my old job, and it's a good kind of challenging, but I have to be cognizant of the fact that I don't have all this, you know, crazy energy that I used to have at the end of the day. So who am I spending my time around? Who am I investing in? And, you know, who is in my life who is, you know, supporting me and whatnot? And, you know, I need to really be thinking about those things and not just, you know, the surface level image focused things that it's so easy to get, you know, fixated on, especially in the social media age. Mm-hmm. So in the wake of that, you know, I started, you know, thinking a lot more about, okay, you know, I need to find a new church small group. And I'm actually still in the process of doing that, because the one I found, unfortunately, disbanded soon after I joined. You know, things like that, just your questions that I often take for granted, you know, because I'm, you know, the busyness of life can just so often get in the way and distract you from the important things. So it's been a good year on that front. I wouldn't say that it's been a landmark year as far as living situations or dating or anything like that, but it's definitely gotten me to examine a lot more, you know, things about what exactly am I allocating my time and energy toward.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's interesting, because there are some things in a year, and it's interesting you talked about, you know, I have to reevaluate, and just we kind of tend to take stock. And I feel like I do that, whether at the end of a decade in time, you know, so now that this is the end of this decade, we're heading into 2020. So you feel like it's kind of has a little more of a monumental effect in a sense. I also do it at the end of decades of age, you know, where you feel like I'm now leaving my 20s. I better figure out what does the next decade hold and beyond. And so, but for me, I like to balance, like, there are things during the course of a year that just kind of happen to you and you got to roll with it. And it might be living situations, it might be, family stuff, you know, whether good stuff or family drama, or I mean, obviously there are health things, there's death, there's lots of stuff that can impact us. So I almost kind of maintain this little modicum of control by what are the things that I can kind of proactively go after, or the things, and sometimes they're little things. Like this year I was like, I need to get a handle on my digital photos. So for me, it's just one little empire that I can control that I was like, you know, I just want to work on those. And it's been a really fun exercise in that going through the past, 10, 15 years now in digital photos has been a fun little kind of walk down memory lane of just the ways almost that God has been good and the different things that I've been able to do and people I've gotten to know. So I feel that that's one thing. And then I finally made my foray into trying to sell things on eBay. I've talked about that on the show, I think, once before, and just how, you know, it just makes me feel like, okay, I'm doing something new, learning something new. And then there are other things that just kind of, you know, come upon you and you're like, oh, I didn't expect that. Or you feel something looming, you know, so it's kind of like, whoa, where do I go with this? And I feel like, you know, in that sometimes it's spiritual stuff. Sometimes it can be health stuff or other stuff, decisions, relational stuff. But anyway, is there anything you guys looking back on 2019 you would have done differently or that you would hope for differently in 2020?
I probably should have gone to see my counselor more.
Okay.
I just
well,
feel
with
so
emotional
hesitant.
Management, yeah.
Definitely. I'm thinking of 2020, and I haven't planned out the year. I haven't thought about it. It's just enough emotional energy just managing the situation that I'm in, which, I mean, it's not extreme. It's just taking a lot of emotional work, and it not really wanting to do that work or not wanting to take another step to add on a greater burden so that you can grow. Like, it's just challenging to have a growth mindset in this area. Yeah. We're just like, oh, every time I go, he tells me to do something different with my life. It's just, I want just a little bit of stability just for a few months. And then maybe in 2020, I'll fork out the bills and go see him more often. But right now, but I think in 2020, I would look back and say, yeah, that could have been a more productive year if I had fast tracked a little bit of that work, even if it were much harder.
Interesting.
I really ought to find a counselor.
Okay. Goals.
But yeah, goals, as far as those go, I think the big thing I would do differently, and this is kind of an umbrella of things, is investing more and being more intentional about the things that no one else sees. And one of those things that a friend of mine recently encouraged me to start doing is journaling. I used to keep a journal, but one of the things that I realized when she and I were talking was that she specifically pointed out, because she knows me and she knows my pitfalls and, you know, my negative tendencies in this area, is that I tend to overshare a little bit on social media where everyone can see something. And she said, you need to go to Barnes & Noble and buy a journal that you can write in. And I'm like, why can't I just keep it in a Google Doc somewhere or something like that? You know, that was my first reaction. And before I could say those words out loud, I realized in my head, oh, yeah, if I do that, I'm going to be tempted to copy and paste little excerpts from it into a social media post, right? So I went out to Barnes & Noble and I got this thing, and it actually took a little while for me to start writing in it. But once I did, I was like, wow, you know, this could be something, you know, that I could honestly use as a prayer journal. And in the past, you know, I've kind of been mechanical about those kinds of disciplines, like prayer, where I just list things out, you know, and then I'm like, okay, pray for A, B, C, D, E, and all that. But I realized that, you know, there's nothing that should be holding me back from writing out my heart to God. You know, why should that be a barrier? And so the journaling, you know, as an exercise has just been really beneficial toward that, you know, just being more honest and not thinking about, oh, what if someone sees this, you know? So that's been good. The other thing has been just being more intentional about solitude. I don't have any roommates, and as a result, you know, I tend to be alone quite a bit. But as a result of that, you know, my time with people tends to fill up a lot of my free time when I can, because I like being around people, and I do get energized from being alone as well. So I tend to kind of think of it in those very simplistic terms of, I'm either by myself or I'm with other people, and if I'm by myself, I got my alone time. But it's not the same as being like carving out something that breaks up your routine, like going for a drive up in the mountains or something like that. And just doing that a little more has been really helpful, and I wish I did it more. I got to do it like once recently, and it was so refreshing.
That's great.
Looking back, I would say I wish that I had invested more in long-distance friendships this past year. I think I did a pretty good job with my friends who are local, but I went to college out of state, so I still have a lot of friends who are in that state. My siblings are at colleges out of state, just have people kind of all over the place. And I think looking back, I would say that I didn't focus on those relationships enough and was too focused on the things that are right in front of me.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think for me, and it kind of gets back to one of the things that was good about my year, because this was my first full year with my mom being gone, not being a caregiver. Kind of I've spent this whole year kind of trying to find myself apart from that role and stuff. It was good because as I headed into the summer, which is my favorite season because it is the best, I just knew I was like, I'm going to just start writing down the things that I'm planning that I know I'm going to look forward to. Like the things that are just going to be little markers in my summer, whether it was, going on a trip or whether it was doing something fun with friends that I'd planned or something I had just set a goal for. And so I kind of kept that notebook throughout the summer just so I could go back and look at it. Now, that said, one thing that did kind of tank this year in a sense was aspects of my health, in the sense of, I think looking ahead to 2020, I'm going to have to... And this is so hilarious how God works this out, because I just had a Boundless fan visit who has the same kind of health struggle with autoimmune and inflammation, and her just sharing some of what God has taught her in her life of like, how do you really go after this and realize that there might have to be some things I do differently to really rein in inflammation and some of the autoimmune processes that I just want to blow off and be like, I'm not old enough to be all like this sick yet. And so I'm sure it'll just pass. And you know what? Maybe I need to be proactive about it. And so I can be more proactive in that way. And I wish I had been this year, but I guess I have another year now to do that. Kind of like a version of what Chris was saying of like, you know, probably could have given some more time and attention to this. And now I will have to in the coming year in a way. But I would say one thing that's been really cool for me, and I'd want to hear from you guys on this too, is I'm seeing how, like, I feel like spiritually I had a really good year, and actually my fall is even better than the rest of my year. And so much of that, again, coming down to intention, is what am I going to do to be in God's word every day? And I cannot rely on seeing a Bible and doing something with it. I need to have something that I have homework for, that I'm doing, I'm digging into something. It is structured. It is, otherwise I blow it off. I am on to JB's point. I'm on social media. I'm sharing thoughts that no one needs to hear with people. Like I'm some kind of oracle. it's just ridiculous. So, and it's helped me so much, even in recent weeks, with the whole idea of like people in the culture saying stuff, and I want to get all indignant about it and say something. And God is just like, can you just chill and like be in my word? And it's like so helping me look forward to the next year and be like, wow, you know, I think I can, I'm getting kind of fortified to be able to wrestle with all those things in my own head, in my own heart, rather than having to be so, you know, put out by everything and so indignant about everything. I don't know. So to that point, looking ahead to the next year, what are you guys thinking? What does it look like for you? I mean, it sounds like there are some big things coming up. So
I'm really excited about this upcoming year because one of my childhood friends is moving into the area, and that just makes me really excited. So earlier this spring, I went on a road trip, like my very first like big, you know, bachelor road trip where I just go and visit friends around states. So I went to Texas first and visited a whole bunch of people there, because that's where I originally moved from when I first came to Colorado. And then I crossed back through and looped back into New Mexico, and then went up to Utah, and I went to some national parks there. Nice. And then crossed back into Colorado. So most of the people I visited were in Texas. But one in particular was a childhood friend of mine. She was actually my very first crush, believe it or not, from junior high. And we had not seen each other in 15 years, and we had just missed each other in, you know, various contexts when her family was moving around and whatnot. Well, now she's married, and I got to meet her husband, which was such a privilege. And we just spent a whole day together. You know, it was one of those situations where it's like I felt like no time had passed at all, and I felt like I knew this guy all my life, you know, and that's such a gift, you know. But they're considering moving to Colorado, so I'm really excited to just spend more time with them and just get to know them more now that we're in a different stage of life. And, you know, now that, you know, we're kind of different people now. And it's just an exciting thing to think about. I also want to just travel a little bit more, too. the trip was good. I would like to do another one next year, you know, maybe go to, you know, some special events. This past August, I got to go to Gen Con, which is a board gaming industry convention in Indianapolis. And I would like to do something like that again. Maybe not exactly something as big as that, but, you know, something where I can meet people and just network and just get to know new faces.
I really love words, and something that's been helpful for me the last couple of years is having a word for the year. And it's been something that God gives me in the fall, and then I spend the next year learning about it in Him. So my word for this year was beloved, and I started off the year recognizing that I couldn't have expectations around that. The year before, I had expectations around my word, and they were crushed. So just started the year knowing, like, that God is going to teach me about how I am His beloved, and that's all that I can expect from this. So that's been a really great journey this year. And in His humorous, gracious way, He has also brought a man into my life who's helping teach me that. But really, the year has been about finding my belovedness in Him. And the word that He's given me for next year is enough. So I'm excited to see how that plays out. Don't know what it will mean. How I think it will go is I'll probably learn about how God is enough for me, and then also finding that I am made enough in Him. So I'm looking forward to that journey.
Cool.
Well, I don't really want to end on a downer, but it's kind of the place where I'm at. Looking into 2020, I'm mostly looking at the burdens that are ahead, mm-hmm. as opposed to joys that are set before. Mm-hmm. I recently hired a new guy onto my team. I'm thinking through some of the challenges of personal goals that I have for the next year that I didn't see resolved this year out of, you know, could have been in my control, some weren't. And seeing 2020 as if it's, like, right now my mental state is I see 2020 as sort of a leftover of, shoot, I didn't get done what I wanted to in 2019. So this is sort of the, not the redo, but like the extended edition that's way too long and has too many deleted scenes that you're like, oh, do we have to really do all of this? Why is this film 4 hours long? Is that totally unnecessary? So I'm almost seeing it as the same year and honestly feel kind of discouraged about that.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, as we close, it's funny because that makes me think of a psalm that I have been studying, 121, which is one of the first psalms of ascent in the book of Psalms. Mm. And it's very familiar. Many people memorize it. The first verse is, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And I'm so grateful that that is the context in which we live as believers, that, you know, God, every time I think that I've messed up something or I've missed something or what should I have done this differently, the realization that if God wanted me to do it that way, He could have forced my hand. He could have made it happen. He could have whatever. I need to just rest, look to Him. I'm only going to get my help from Him. And so what does that look like as I look to Him expectantly for that? So you guys, thanks so much for weighing in on this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing what next year holds.